Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your other host, Sam, and today we are talking about...
Mr. Rodriguez, Mr. Cameron, your muffin's in the mail. Best movie of 2019 is already decided. I'm sorry, guys, spoilers.
Shut up, Cal.
Sam, what did you think of the Alita Battle Angel, winner of the 2019 best yearly muffin? Best muffin of the year muffin.
I just attacked Cal with a pillow for all those who were wondering what that noise was. Alright. First of all, we got a tweet.
So we're talking about Alita Battle Angel, by the way.
Spoilers for Alita Battle Angel. But we got a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
From at Goddamn Robots. Again,
because this is the reply to the
ongoing
one.
Yeah, this is our ongoing chat with him about Steven Universe.
Did we ever actually reply to him as a tweet, or is this the medium we're communicating?
Maybe
we should just get him on the show.
It'd be quicker.
It would, yeah.
It'd be more efficient, yeah.
Where you at? Robot.
Wait a minute. Or is he a robot?
This could all be Cartoon Network just trying to get some coverage
for Steven Universe. Yes, yeah. Your fans want it.
At Goddamn Robots, are you just Rebecca Sugar?
Anyway, apparently the last episode of Steven Universe we watched was Season 5, Episode 16, Letters to Lars.
Yeah.
There's been like 10 since then or something like that, so we'll watch them and probably do it next week.
Yeah, I think that Sam should watch the entire season again.
Watch the entire season again.
I will. Happily. Because I like the show.
It's fine. I lost investment somewhere. Like, I was on board for, like, a season, and then I kind of stopped caring, and I don't know why.
I think you start getting answers to questions. And, well, because you sort of get into this rhythm of how the show goes, of, like, oh, it just gives you, like, a big answer, and then it fucks around for an entire season.
Yeah.
And it gives you another big answer, and it fucks around. And then in season 5, it was just answers to big questions.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. We'll cover that once you actually watch it all again. Because it's only... Yeah.
Anyway,
It's only like six
Robert
episodes.
Robert Rodriguez, James Cameron, you're a wolf in the medal for the worst movie of 2019. All right. First of all, I want to hear your justification why it's good,
and then I'll tell you why it's wrong. No, I'm entirely fucking with you.
Good, it sucked!
Look, it was... So, I did a little bit of reading into the history of this
Based on an anime, is it?
It's based on an anime and manga franchise. It's relatively old. I can't remember the exact year.
Her eyes horrifying in that.
Well, I mean, that's what eyes look like in anime.
Exactly. Don't do it in live action.
That didn't bother me at all in the film.
I adjusted it to it by the end.
I adjusted to it by, like, scene 2. Of her being alive.
But she was the only one with weird eyes like that.
Yeah, well, all the...
They never, like, established this is robotics?
No. They established that this is her... Like, that the urn people...
Oh, have big eyes.
Yeah, like...
So why isn't she bullied in the street for being an urn? An urn? Orn?
I think it's URM. URM. It's the United Republic of Mars or something. I can't remember exactly.
Right.
But, like, in the flashbacks and stuff, like, the other people that she was fighting alongside with had big eyes as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I think it's a trait of them.
Alright, straight up, again, spoilers for Alita again.
Yeah.
Those flashbacks would have been a better movie.
Yeah, I know, right? But that's, like, 9/10 of all movies ever.
No, but, like, here is literally a, like, war between Earth and Mars. Name a movie where there's been just an outright war between Earth and Mars.
I'm sure there has been one.
Never. Not one. Not a single one.
War of the Worlds.
No.
Yeah.
No,
it's on Earth, but yeah.
Yeah. It's on Earth.
Done.
And they're technically from Mars.
What do you mean technically? They are from Mars. Though. They're Martians.
I know. That's dumb, though.
No, it's not dumb, Sam. Your idea was dumb.
More importantly, did you see that the Mars rover
died? It's
been
done for centuries. Oh, how heartbreaking was that?
Oh, man. And, like, its last words were, like...
It's my batteries are running low and it's getting dark.
Yeah.
Because apparently this thing's like, it sang happy birthday to itself and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to make it sort of meme worthy in its anthropomorphicness.
Yeah.
I love that about robots.
Yeah, I know. I love a funny robot.
Have you seen a proper Roomba robotic vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
Like those things have a lot of anthropomorphic features to them, and the way you interface with them, like, in their software, like, they really try and treat it like it's like a pet.
Right.
And then it becomes part of your family.
That's how they're going to take over, but...
Sure. But, I mean, but I, for one, welcome our robot overlords.
But the,
so as long as I can still rover feed my family.
Called Opportunity, or called, I think they shortened it to Oppie or something for short.
Nah, I'm not sure it was something that snappy, but anyway, go.
Oppie would be good. It was Opportunity, though, was its name.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure it was Opportunity.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I like the robot, and it's sad that it died, but it was meant to only go for 15 Martian days.
Yeah, and it ran and lasted, for fucking ages.
90 Martian days, lasted for 15 years.
Yeah.
That robot's been active on Mars nearly as long as I've been longer than that. I keep thinking I'm 19. I'm not 19.
You're absolutely not 19.
I'm 23.
Yeah.
You spud. Still, 15 years is nearly like, half my lifetime.
Well, yeah, think about it. 15 years ago, you hadn't seen an Avengers movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that long ago, kids.
Man, because those movies have been out forever.
For like 10 years now.
Yeah. Almost to the day.
Mm.
Except that it's 11 years now.
Because 15 years ago, what was that? 2002?
Well, we're in 2019, so...
So 2004?
Four? Good maths, Cal.
Yeah, I was pretty close.
Did you guess?
Yeah. I didn't do the math. What do you think this is? Some sort of nerd show?
Oh, we're already so far off a leader.
In 2002, there weren't even iPhones.
Four.
What?
2004.
So in 2004, there weren't even iPhones.
Weren't there?
No, the first one was 2007.
Oh, seven. There you go. I was close.
Idiot.
You
thick idiot.
I guessed something that I couldn't possibly have worked out with Matt. Sue me.
Point is, like...
Elite Battle Angel was shit? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, it wasn't even... Like, 15 years ago, there were still giant arthropods that roamed the Earth, and trees were little stumpy things. It was weird. Anyway.
You're a little stumpy thing, still.
Correct.
So, Elite Battle Angel was...
Okay,
How many endings did this movie need?
Well, okay, so I think this movie was a very accurate and well-realized... heavily contracted version of an entire anime season.
Right.
Like, it had so many endings because it had every ending in it from every major chapter.
Yeah.
Leading up to the end of season one. Yeah. Like, it...
Don't do it.
Well, because apparently James Cameron was trying to get this film off the ground for the last, like, 2 decades.
Right.
And Robert Rodriguez was brought in to try and truncate that.
A good 40 years shorter than he's been making Avatar movies.
Uh-huh. Before Avatar 1 came out, everything was still in black and white. Anyway.
We're getting another 4 of those and they're finished filming.
Anyway.
Next year, man, we're going to start having to review Avatar
movies. Fuck my life.
Really, that's a thing that's going to happen?
I can't believe that I've watched Pocahontas 2 before I've seen Avatar 2. Like, why did we do this to ourselves?
Anyway, Alita Battle Angel.
Welcome to the Video Shop Podcast. Sam and Cal flagellating themselves with art. Anyway.
What?
Flagellating is where you, like, you hurt yourself, you whip yourself, or beat yourself. Anyway, I think that, like, Alita Battle Angel was, yeah, as far as an adaptation of an anime or manga series goes, this is a whole lot better than the Attack on Titan live-action movie, Dragon Ball Evolution by a long fucking stretch. I haven't actually seen Ghost in the Shell, because it came out and everybody just went, this is fucking terrible, so we didn't even do an episode on it.
It looked better than this movie did.
I'm not sure, because I think what the issue is that we're trying to take something that's super long form and contract it down to a short thing and still remain true to the source material.
Sure.
Like, you have to sacrifice something.
Have we not learnt by now, though, that those don't work?
I would have thought so, but that's exactly why James Cameron makes his movies go for 9 hours at a time.
The thing is, this movie dragged so much.
It did.
It was so...
And it still sacrificed character development.
Yeah.
Like, the romance was fucking half-assed and shit. The relationship between her and the doctor was shit.
There's that weird scene where she literally, not like metaphorically, literally tries to give him her heart.
Yeah, which is weird.
And it was sudden and abrasive, and she goes, "That was intense, ha 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 ha," and they have a little joke about it. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, it was. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
This isn't laughable. This is psychotic. She has problems.
Well, and also, in, like, because in a cartoon,
she literally pulls a robotic heart out of her chest and tries to give it to him. It's like, I can get another one. You take it. We'll get to the high sea. But
it's sort of establishing how it's connected to her, and it's setting up the whole thing of connecting his head to it later.
Yeah,
and
cut both those things out.
Just kill him there instead of 5 seconds later on the... She couldn't
escape from the church somehow?
Yeah. Like, because that's the thing. Like, everything in this movie seems to have happened the way it happened in the anime.
Right.
And, like, it seems like it was unbelievably true to the source material. But, like,
you gotta make bigger sacrifices then.
I think so.
You gotta make a more... Like, you... Here's the thing. Being faithful to the source
material... Yeah, we know what you mean.
Being faithful to the source material stops being a good thing when it becomes detrimental to the new version of it.
Mm.
So, I'm trying to think of an example of something that has done something new and original with the original source material and made it interesting and good.
There aren't that many really good adaptations. Certainly not. That
would be the problem.
I mean, like, Scott Pilgrim, you could argue, but even then, that came out during the comics run, and the first few parts of the movie that are based on the comics that were out at the time are really accurate, and the rest of it isn't.
Maybe Game of Thrones, because it diverges at the end, sorry. But
even then, we're still talking long form to long form.
That's true, it's not a movie.
It's just two different mediums.
Like, Scott Pilgrim is probably actually the best example.
But even then, it's so different by about halfway through the film.
Yeah, that was made before the ending of the actual comics came out, like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So it's probably a really good example, actually.
That's the best one I can think of.
Edge of Tomorrow is a really good example, actually.
Well, because
that takes a lot of liberties for the benefit of the story, I think, in film form compared to manga form.
Well, it's also like, have you read any novelizations of movies?
I have, yeah.
Like, I was reading the Shape of Water
book. Okay.
Yeah, right. Because I had an Audible credit and I just wanted to fucking get it out there. And so, there's a lot of the movie where you're sort of setting up who the main character is and what her job is like and how she's being treated.
Yeah.
You're seeing the villain's point of view of him actually going to the rainforest to get the river god Fishman.
Yeah, right.
So, like, there's actually more content in the longer form version. Well,
it's like there's the novelization of The Dark Knight Rises.
Right,
gives an explanation of where the Joker is.
Right, okay.
And that's that... It's kind of an interesting the explanation as well, because they chose not to mention in the movie, which I always thought was a mistake. Mm. I thought it did more disservice to the character, because his absence was felt instead.
Especially when you see Scarecrow and
other
character. It's like,
and even Ra's al Ghul makes an appearance.
Yeah.
So, when you bring back all the villains, but not the big one, even Harvey Dent had a... Anyway, so the Harvey Dent Act, or whatever it was in Dark Knight Rises, meant that prisoners didn't end up in Arkham Asylum. Bad guys didn't end up in Arkham Asylum, they ended up in prison. So they couldn't just plead to sanity and get in. Like, that was the premise of that.
Right.
And in the book, there's a note that no one really knows for sure, but they say there's one person left in Arkham who hasn't been moved.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the reference of it. And it's like, it's enough that I go, hey, that's cool. And that should have been in the...
Yeah.
In the movie still. Because I would have gone, oh, that's a cool detail.
Yeah. Even if it was, obviously, we're leaving this crazy motherfucker behind.
Yeah.
Like, because... anyway, we shouldn't get off track. But, like, the issue, I think, with this movie is that it is trying to remain too true to the source material, and it doesn't truncate enough in a good enough way.
That's the thing. And the thing with an adaptation is you can make liberties. Look at Attack on Titan, live action. That takes a ton of liberties.
It takes the entire, like, historical time period that it's set in and changes it.
Yeah.
And, gives for the worse. Titans. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes it worse by doing that.
But ultimately, like, beat for beat of the season, of, you know, the first few episodes of season one of Attack on Titan, it actually was pretty loyal.
Yeah.
But it changed, like, mechanics of how the Titans work and the time period and, like, the interesting aesthetics, and it takes away interesting characters and replaces them with less interesting ones.
Yeah, like, so yeah. Its use of time was better, but its use of setting was worse.
Hmm.
So,
but, like, Attack on Titan was made that way. I haven't seen or read the original Alita material, so I don't know, but in Attack on Titan, the first five episodes all lead up to this major... Sorry, not the first five. Yeah, no, I think it is the first five. Yeah, the first five lead up to Eren getting eaten by the Titan. And then I think by episode eight, the whole Battle of Trost is over.
Yeah.
So, like, the first half of the first season is one big story. And the first half of that is, like, you could set it up in a quick montage.
Yeah, easy.
Like, yeah, so, like, there's really only five episodes that they were adapting into a movie, which is about the same length of time. So, like, the adaptation there is nowhere near as hard to do.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in Alita, it looked like the costumes and character designs were fucking on point. And the way they've made that city look is on point to the original stuff.
Right. So that would be fine, because that's the kind of stuff you want to get right.
But also, like, the where I was going with that point...
Yeah.
...is that it makes it fucking horrifying. Because in a cartoon, there's degrees of separation between the real world and the horrible, action-heavy, murderous shit that's going on.
Yeah.
So, like, when Alita is this bright-eyed anime protagonist who's really positive about everything for most of the time, and she kicks somebody's fucking head off and does all this badass stuff and, like, cuts a man in half, there's, like, there's this weird dissonance because she looks enough like a real person that, like, the whole idea of, like, who the good guys are and who the bad guys are was super black and white in this film.
Yeah.
But...
Except you didn't know who the bad guy was till the end, because sequel.
But they set up three other bad guys and you saw her defeat all of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, true. But, like, they were all mustache-twirling villains crazy powers and shit.
If I, like, I don't know the original source material, but taking a lot of these elements, I think, could have been really good had they tweaked the timeline a bit.
Yep.
And that would be to put that flashback stuff we had at the start, so we had a little bit of context. I think, personally, because I was a little bit... Or maybe not the flash... Or even take that out.
Hmm.
So, like, here's my thing with the flashback stuff. It didn't matter to us ultimately. Mm. We got all our information in exposition anyway, that we needed about her past. So you could have taken out all three of the flashbacks she got, which really broke up the scenes they were in to a negative effect. Yeah,
but like,
and the only thing it really needed was the big ring that came down the tube.
Mm.
Cut that shit out entirely. Well, it's dumb.
I think...
It looked dumb.
I think the issue is that the story's meant to be Alita figuring out who she is.
Yeah.
And that there are constantly these curveballs being thrown at her by either the doctor saying that, well, you're using my daughter's body, so you're sort of my daughter and I'm going to treat you like my daughter.
Yeah.
And you have this past with this ancient war that's going on, and you have all these personal goals and stuff that you've developed since, and you're getting your memories back about this ancient war stuff. Like, so, like, every time she figures out who she is a little bit, she gets another curveball. And that's great in a long-form thing. In a short-form thing, though, if you just go, you're an alien, you're the United Republic of Mars fucking secret badass assassin, if you reveal that right from the beginning,
yeah,
and that she's got the daughter's body, and that she's lost her own memories, and it turns out that her memories are just that she, you know, is just answering the question of, you know, well, she is this ancient badass anyway.
Yeah.
Like, too many things just become not a reveal anymore and not a plot point to build towards.
Yeah.
So then the story then has to become the romance or something else.
But none of it felt fleshed out. What I think they should have done is built it on that romance and built it on... Because one minute she's becoming a badass, like, hunter warrior, whatever they called them.
Yeah.
Then she's becoming a sports icon. What the fuck were they called? What does that small sport call? Rollerball?
Motorball.
Motorball.
Yeah. Which is weird because it didn't
How look like, does yeah. that sport work? What is the point? Like,
well, yeah, if it was a motorball story with this stuff going on in the background.
Or it was the hunter warrior story. Either way.
Yeah.
They needed to focus on one, whereas both got equal amount of screen time and made them both feel equally pointless.
Yeah. And it felt like, because they did these anime tropes of, like, she's leveled up, she's achieved Super Saiyan or whatever when she gets her urn body. And then establishing that there are, like, downsides to the urn body that, like, the doctor now can't fix her.
Yeah.
If she gets damaged. I was like, oh, cool. So now we're actually going to see some damage done to her, and it's going to be important. Doesn't happen.
Nah.
It, like, she gets that little spear in the thigh from Spaghetti Fingers later on. Yeah. And then she just takes it out, immediately heals, cuts the fucker in half.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it feels like all these things would have been great if
it was just about that.
Focused
on that.
Well, yeah, but the way you focus on that is you make 90 movies that are all about half an hour long, and you call it Elite Battle Angel, the series. You know, like, the way you do this is to make it long form. Like, I think that what they needed to do was just cut fucking everything out of it and tell one story.
I agree.
As part of this. Like, all these people who are trying to turn long form shit into a movie, I think they're going about it the wrong way, and people are much more interested in binging shit now than ever before.
Yeah.
A TV series is what you want to do. Game of Thrones is going to make more money than the next Star Wars will.
Yep.
Like,
there's an interesting point about that, though, because I think, probably not, Star Wars was a bad example. Although, maybe, there's a lot of bad will towards Star Wars at the moment. But there is an interesting point about long form being turned into short form. Because Marvel is a great example of taking a source material and tweaking it. Because a lot of their movies are inspired by comic book runs, like Civil War.
Yeah.
But those two things have so little in common. It's the basic premise. And a lot of that is to do with which characters they have access to, who's set up in the world. But what they did was they took an idea and a comic and went, we're going to do this with that story instead. And it worked.
Well, and even with Thor Ragnarok, right? Which was, like, there is a Ragnarok comic arc. It has very little to do with this.
Yep.
There's an arc that is about Hela that's much more to do with it, but
there's a bit of Planet Hulk in there too.
Yeah. But even then, the Planet Hulk stuff is, like, aesthetics more than it is an actual plot point.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a little bit of the Banner Hulk dichotomy there that they sort of explore as they, you know, go through the movies later on, and it's good to see that introduced. But in Planet Hulk, he's just Hulk the whole time.
Yeah.
And he goes back, he fights his way back to Earth as Hulk and remains as Hulk for a little bit on Earth, I'm pretty sure. Like, for a long time on Earth, pretty sure. I don't
know. No, not on Earth, on Asgard, in Ragnarok.
No, in the comic of
Planet Hulk. Yes. Yeah, well, like, he goes back, because then it becomes World War Hulk, right?
I think so, something like that.
Or did it go the other way around? I don't remember which way around it went.
I can't remember, but, like, Hulk becomes, like, the main entity, and Banner is only every now and then.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I think. But, like, so, like, they took a few different concepts and just went, how can we make that work for this story that we want to tell?
Yeah.
Which is something that's new and different.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how people need to be exploring this sort of stuff.
I was going
to
say, it's almost more like taking characters and settings and worlds rather than taking the plot. Because this movie sacrificed character and for plot. For the worst of the movie, I think. Because I got bored, I didn't care about anyone. She was a badass who got out of all problems. She was literally chopped into pieces and was fine. So, I'm like,
That whole thing of, like, the robot body is entirely replaceable.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, it's cool to see all these things happen, but then there's obvious moments where she straight up murders people already. Like, she crushes the living human head part.
Yeah, but
like, you're meant to be the good guy, and not only the good guy, the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed protagonist who wouldn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, the problem is she stays like that instead of switching and going, oh shit, am I a warrior? Am I a murderer?
Whereas if it was a long form thing, we'd actually see her transition and care less and less about the people that she's killing.
Yeah.
And feel less and less guilt about it.
Or feel more and more guilt about it to the point she's like, I don't want to be that person.
Sure.
Either plot point. Like,
it's yeah, character but we don't development. Get that
we
in
don't
this.
Get any of that.
She seems like a fucking psychopath. And all the and that taints all the romance stuff. It makes the moment where she takes her heart out and gives it to him not cute and sweet and romantic.
Really off-putting.
Makes it horrifying.
Yeah, it's a really horrifying scene. I was really put off.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, I don't mean to keep bringing up things that you haven't seen, but in the latest run of Dragon Ball Super.
Sure.
Well, in the latest run of Dragon Ball, the yeah. Super series.
Sure.
It's, like, they originally made movies. They made Battle of the Gods and Resurrection F, and they all did arcs that were then covered in the show.
Yeah.
So the movies are sort of not canon, but they do everything in an hour and a half.
Right.
And they take the major bad guy and the major plot point, and they just go, here it is, here's the inciting incident, here's the big battle, here's how Goku overcomes it, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then in the series, they spread that over 24 episodes.
Yeah.
Where there's actual, like, spacing in between the inciting incident and the main fight to allow people to train and get stronger and interact with each other and have, like, a proper show in there.
Yeah.
So, like, I haven't actually seen the series of Dragon Ball Super, but, like, it seems like it could all... You've almost got a better chance at turning a movie into a TV series than you do the other way around.
Yeah.
At least, if you're going to, you really need to understand the differences between the long and short form.
So, I think you go about it either two ways. Oh, sorry for the yawn. You either take a smaller arc from the thing and build that into one movie, and then you have more movies you can make. I don't know why they don't...
Yeah.
Anyway, but... Or you cut, like, a whole lot of the fat. You're, like, really brutal with what you take out. Like, it's got to be one or the other.
Well, if you were doing Steven Universe, say, as a movie, you would cut out...
Most of season one.
Most of season one, but you'd leave a little bit in there, and then you'd have sort of, like... You'd have the bit where they reveal that the gem monsters are gems, and you'd probably have this... You'd lead up to the season finale of Lapis. That whole arc would be the final act of the movie or whatever. That would be the bulk of the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you had...
Or, here's the thing as well, though. With, like, if you were to make a Steven Universe movie, I think the best thing to do would be to just tell an original story with those characters in that world.
But, like, the issue with Steven Universe is that the whole...
Because there's not that much continuity, though.
Yeah, there is.
Well, there's more than in some of those animated shows, but you could tell a one-off adventure.
But, like, you saw Steven go from being the fucking worst
to
being not
best,
shit.
Yeah.
And the whole leading up to, like, Steven figuring out that his best power here is empathizing with the bad guy and turning them good.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That becoming his superpower that's revealed at the end of the third arc when he stops Lapis from flooding the world, or from stealing all the water. And, like, you can make that an arc in just that season.
Yeah.
And also do another movie that does the Peridot arc and everything, and the Jasper arc. That actually focuses more on the gem powers and all that sort of stuff. Like you could clearly cut things out of this and make it into movies.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you took, I was trying to think of a different example for a material that wouldn't necessarily translate well
to a movie.
Yeah.
I think a lot of books you're better off making into TV shows. I think Game of Thrones proved that.
Mm. Well, but again, it sort of depends on the book. Like Harry Potter 1 and 2 in particular. Arguably 3 and 4. But those fit
not
pretty...
arguably 4. 3, though. 3
sure.
Had some structural changes, which made it pretty different, but I think worked quite well.
Yeah,
to trim the fat.
I really didn't rate 3 as a movie. I think it's a well-crafted
really
thing, but I don't think it
3
works
probably...
story-wise. But
yeah.
But like 1 and 2, perfect.
Yeah, they're fine. Really close adaptations, too. They take a couple of liberties just for making the movie a bit more concise.
Yeah.
Chop some scenes that aren't really needed.
Yeah.
That's it. The big one is 4, at which point that should have been 2 movies or a TV show.
Mm.
Because so much is cut out of that book.
Mm.
That makes the other movies harder to make.
Mm.
Because they've got so much in it that... And with each new book that went and each new movie, they got harder to make and harder to cut stuff out because so much had been cut out of the other ones.
Yeah.
That so much content was lost.
Well, it's a bit like episodic TV versus serialized TV. When you've got to have something that's satisfying, that's in one piece, it becomes a different story.
Yeah.
Like an episode of like, say, Seinfeld or whatever.
Yeah.
As opposed to a few episode arc of Friends or something like that. Like it would be like Friends is probably not the best example, but like there is continuity from episode to episode in Friends.
Sure, yeah.
That you could make into a longer form thing if you wanted to. I'm sure Job Willans out there, somebody like that, could cut together a Friends movie that was Paul Rudd and Phoebe's relationship.
Yeah,
or whatever, and just do that.
Yep.
Like you could do that. You can't. Well, that's an
interesting thought experiment. Actually, I almost want to try that.
But you can't do that with Seinfeld. Because every episode is written to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, an A plot and a B plot and a conjunction. Like it's structured to fit together properly. Whereas a book, like the Harry Potter first 2 novels, from what I've read, has the beginning, the middle, and the end. Like the second one has the mystery and revealing all the clues and then the wrap up at the end. It's a proper like mystery novel.
Yeah, right.
Like. You can do that in a movie form because it has a beginning and a middle and an end. Whereas the fourth one is much more about the bigger overarching lore of what's going on and who Sirius Black is in relation to the Potters and to all these other people. It's a longer form drama.
Yeah.
That has multiple endings and multiple interconnections that, like you, to say that you shouldn't do Harry Potter as a movie series, I think there's a strong argument for it, but that's not necessarily true. But some books in that franchise are very easily translated into movies and some are not.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, yes, they can be translated into movies, but you will also be able to transfer them into a show.
Yeah, like the TV show format is a more versatile format.
What you do there is you do a 6-episode season for book 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And then you go up to 10 for the rest.
Yeah.
Or even 12, 13, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Or have
Which season... is the advantages of a TV show.
Yeah.
Or even season 1. It's a 12-episode season, but book 1 and 2.
Yeah, you split it in half, yeah.
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 And then book 3 is its own whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the freedom you have with television that you don't get with film.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah.
Might call this like Alita Battle Angel and adapting.
Well, cause I don't think there's the things that we've said are already enough. Like, the story is fine, isn't it? It's just too truncated.
I don't know what I can imagine that the plot beats they have are good in a movie. Are good in a show.
Yeah, but they're not good in a movie.
They're not good in a movie because it's too much and there are 5 endings and the guy dies like 3 times and by his last death, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And it looks so silly when he dies. I was giggling. He's got no arms and legs. He's half robot and he just falls through a little cloud.
Yeah.
And he's like little weird CGI head. But I also didn't love how this movie looked. Like
I did.
All right, let me be clear here.
Yep.
The aesthetic was good.
Yep.
I like the aesthetic. The CGI was too rubbery. It reminded me of Ready Player One in the way it looked.
But also, there was a lot of metal on metal interactions that didn't feel bouncy. They felt crushy, crunchy. Yeah,
the metal on metal was fine. All the people's heads on top of the metal looked terrible.
Yeah, I mean...
And the reason it worked in Ready Player One is because they, from the get-go, are like, this is a video game.
Yeah.
So my brain, like, adjusts and I don't mind that it looks kind of fake.
And the real world in that movie doesn't have any of those.
None of it. It's super real world.
Yeah.
Those were the, you're like, 15 days Steven Spielberg showed up to direct on that film.
But yeah, like, I think with...
With this, they were like, this is the real world.
But it's, like...
Like, the motorball looked terrible. It's really hard
to say how much of these creatures were organic and how much of them were... were cybernetic. Like, so with a leader, it seems like basically there's like the V-neck shirt sort of cut out of her torso.
Yeah.
And her real spine, her real brain. And that's pretty much it. Everything else is synthetic.
Yeah.
But she's meant to look like from this V up, she's a flesh monster. Whereas the guy with the sword had a real tongue, real teeth, and real skin on his face. And everything else was metal.
Yeah.
I assume he had a real brain. And that basically you are born a real person. And then as you live in this hard, shitty world, you slowly get replaced by robot parts until you're entirely a Tin Man.
Yeah.
Or until you achieve something good and then you get your brain taken out and put in a jar and sent up to the fucking... The good world.
The good place. World. The good place. Good show. Like, and a movie we didn't talk about was, this year was Mortal Engines, which I also thought was terrible. because it was again a case of something that felt condensed, because that was based on a book.
Yeah.
It felt condensed, it felt rushed. Also, that it just made no sense. Mm. But that was kind of the thing in a lot of this as well. I was like, why? Why does no, like, they don't give us a reason at all why anyone would live outside of that city. Because it looks like, to me, there's just a bunch of farmland. From my perspective, I'm like, fuck this city. Let's go live... Let's go build a fucking house somewhere.
Mm.
And we'll farm food and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
They don't give us any explanation as to why you can't do that.
Yeah, whereas I think there's more... Like, that's what's cut out. There's time in the manga and the anime to go... like, these people were so heavily reliant on technology and then this big fuck-off war happened and now... The only people who are left don't understand how the technology works.
Yeah.
And the few that do become Dr. Ito and, you know, and these warriors.
Which is fine, but I still don't get it. And because we don't understand what the world was like pre-war, because it's the future. Like, it's not like this was our world that went wrong.
Mm.
It's like this was a futuristic world that went wrong. And because we don't have context of what pre-war was like, it also doesn't help. Like, it doesn't feel... In dystopian film or TV, generally the dystopia followed our world.
Mm.
So it was our world leads to this.
Yeah.
So we know what we lost.
Mm.
I don't know what these guys lost. Mm. I don't know what it was like before. These floating cities, did everyone live in them?
Mm.
Like, did people who are now... like, where did...
Well, okay, so my understanding of it is, and so it, I think, I can't remember because I skimmed Wikipedia for this. The good place is the last one of a bunch of basically space launching pad things.
Right.
And people moved there during the war. After the war.
Right, except they made it sound like it was during the war, all of those things got knocked out of the sky.
Yeah, because that was how they were sending things to Mars, and to have a fight there, and receiving things back from Mars, and like... Yeah, so it was... That was destroying their trade routes, and that was like, that was cutting off their resources, was to destroy those platforms. And this is the last one that's left. And so now after everything's done and when the people are really reliant on all the technology that's keeping everything running, they go to the place that still works and everyone goes there. That's my loose understanding of it. But none of that's in this show because the whole point of this movie is to say, you know, who am I and how much of that is dictated by my goals, how much of that is dictated by my past, how much of that is dictated by other people's opinions of me and things like that. But it all gets lost when your past isn't explained and the other people's opinion of you gets truncated.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the thing. Like I was saying, you want to cut stuff down, but you don't want to leave the audience lost.
Mm.
So they simultaneously cut stuff out that confuse the audience and then put too much in, which continue to confuse the audience. And I think that's why this isn't doing particularly well review-wise.
Mm.
And like the motorball sport, like the rules are never established for that. And I assume they are in the anime. I'm sure it has very logical rules that make sense.
Because I think it was basically just survive to the end of the track and put the ball in the goal.
Right. What's the point of the... Well, if you survive, what's the point in...
Because like if two people survive and you get to the end, then you duke it out.
Right.
But the whole point is, once you put the ball in the goal, that's the end of the game. That's the golden snitch. You're done.
Right.
That was my interpretation of this.
Interpretation of the ones the kids were playing.
Yeah, but we never see the goal.
In the big one, which makes me go...
Was there a goal?
Yeah, like it just seemed like a track they all went around, and they like I know the point was they were all trying to kill her, so they ignored the ball.
You did see the track from Bird's Eye View at one point, and it does have a beginning and an end.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't. But give us that.
Yeah, tell us that.
Like, give us like because. It's too quick and you don't really get a context from that kind of shot.
Well, because if Hugo had have said...
When the ball got left behind, it didn't feel like a big deal, but it should have. It should have been like, all right, they're just trying to kill her because they've left the ball behind.
Yeah, yeah.
They're ignoring the ball.
Yeah. Or like if one of them was like not necessarily in it for a leader... And so he's trying to get the ball...
Maybe, yeah.
Into the thing. Because he's like, well, fuck it. You know, like, 500 grand is a lot of money. But I'll earn money doing this as well. And I know I can do this. I might not be able to actually fight the supergirl. Hired
specifically to kill her.
Yeah. But if one of them just went, nah, you know what? Fuck it. The 100 grand is enough instead of the 500. I'll put the ball in the goal. And so now they've got to fight him as well. But, like, you can't... I don't know.
Fuck, it was also very cliched. How many times did she and him have a, I love you, thank you for saving me, this, blah, blah, blah.
But again, this is something that would happen every 6 episodes or so, you know, like after everything big happens at the end of a story arc, but we got the end of 3 different story arcs in this movie.
I know, they're still cliched, but the problem, they probably felt worse because... We got hit with like 3 in a row.
Yeah. Well, and also this is
a Edward Norton was in this movie
for some reason.
Yeah. And didn't say a single word.
I was convinced at first that it was his voice coming through the other actors.
I mean, maybe at one point,
but I don't think it was. Especially when we got to Copperhead dying.
Yeah.
I can't remember his real name. Yeah, it was definitely his voice there. He did a great job changing his voice between the two different versions of the character.
I mean, all the actors were fine for the most part, except for the love interest. I am bland boy.
Yeah, well, because again, that was one of the things that they just truncated was, you know, his personality and why that, like, because that's an interesting thing of like she's this good guy, and he's the one that. You know, and he's this morally grey character who's doing what it takes to survive. Them clashing in their relationship over that is the plot point of many a story in the past.
Yeah.
If you had a zoomed in and focused on that, made the big burly dude the final boss bad guy.
Yeah.
That could have been fine.
Yep.
But then you would have had to take things that happen in later movies in that romance and put it into this one to give it its own... thing, and then the romance has to take a backseat in the sequels, and like it becomes this whole other problem. As soon as you start doing it, it becomes really hard to continue the character development in this long form thing if you're going to make a series of movies.
Yeah.
So I think just make a mini series of it or something. Like, you don't have to truncate it from long form to short form. You can do it from long form to slightly shorter long form.
Or just make it about the love interest and the track. The game.
Yeah.
And end it with her having to go rescue him mid her final race or whatever.
Mm.
Like, I know that would be taking some creative liberties, but it would have made it more interesting.
Well, because it then just... But like I was saying, it leaves you then going, right, well, if their relationship is fixed and fine, You've either got to introduce new tension for the second movie to give that a point to even be there, or he just takes a complete back seat, which is fine. But if you the end first of the movie, that's when you end up with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man problem.
No, the end of the movie would be he's got his robot body, he's fine, everything's okay, but he's not. And the next movie is him being... It's her becoming a hunter-warrior and becoming... And, like, and all that, and him feeling inadequate or whatever, I don't know. And then you end the second movie with him trying to go up the top.
Yeah, and now he's dead and gone for good. And now, and then the third movie is just big action. Like, that's probably the best way you could have done that.
And then that way you can... You can give the Hunter Warrior and the racetrack stuff enough time to breathe. And even like start her out doing the track in her old suit. Have her get fucked up on a one ride or something. And then she has to, you know, get her other suit to do the final race or something, whatever. And
then, yeah, that's sort of what it feels like.
And then
like.
You have her end the second one by killing the guy.
Well, like, because...
Copperhead.
The final conclusion in the anime where you like you break your limits and you go beyond and become something different.
Yeah.
The Super Saiyan moment in Alita seems to be when she gets the Urn suit. Suit. Or the Urn body. So, like, for that to have happened at the point that it did, and for it to not be necessarily, like, it wasn't really a threshold breaking sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was just a necessity because her other body was I don't know. Like, it's just, it didn't seem like something that was earned in the way that an anime would earn it.
Yeah.
It seems like the sort of thing that, fuck, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, man. But like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's something that again, works in the long form, doesn't work in the short form. Like when it becomes this symbolic thing of Dr. Ito letting her be her own person that's separate from his daughter, when that's the symbology and that becomes the big moment of change in the movie, that's a really good moment, and it's completely lost in this film.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like, well, she got the other body mashed up, so now she needs a new one.
Yep.
And she's already had that, you know, job's done.
Yeah. That almost would have been more impactful if he'd gone to get the other suit. I know that doesn't work the way this movie's set up, but I think would have worked, like, if she'd found it, told him about it, and he went back to get it, would have been much more impactful to watch. But again,
I think that, like, what I'm picturing as you say that is, like, a tense thing where he has to go on a trial to prove that he's changed something different to her, where it sort of becomes where, like, she's not the main character anymore. And he is for this moment, which is, again, fine in a long-form thing where you can change the perspectives all the time.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
In a feature-length film, it just becomes, why does the white man get the big epic climactic thing to the end of the movie?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
The main character.
Good point.
Like, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, you're right. But there would have been a better way to do it either way.
I think so, but it's like... Because in Dragon Ball, it's going beyond your own limits...
Yeah.
And it's becoming something different in yourself.
Yeah.
In a leader, it's being given something, having this thing bestowed upon you by somebody else all the time. And it's like, I get, like, you might be making some big sweeping statement of, like, your identity really doesn't matter in any other format than how other people see you and the labels that other people apply to you. All of that subtext is lost in this film.
Yep.
Anyway, far through this episode,
are we? We're far enough through that we can end it.
Yeah, cool. I don't think it's worth going to see Alita if you've listened this far without having seen it. I think
I put it on the same level as Mortal Engines for those keeping track.
I would say that this is totally fine. If you like the original source material, watch it. If you're bored and you like anime movies or you like talking about adaptations, watch it on Netflix.
I'm interested if you've seen the original, whether you would like this though. And I would like, if you've seen the original and the new one, I'd love to know what you thought of it. So tweet us at VideoShotPod and let us know.
Well, because I think all the questions that we'll
read it out
are all answered in the show, or largely answered in the show.
Probably, yeah.
And so I think for this, it's just like, wow, I got to see the HD version
of
most of the scenes that I liked.
Yeah.
which is sort of what it felt like with the later Harry Potter movies, where, like, it was so disjointed.
Yeah, it was, these are the sequences you like.
Yeah.
And the only one they took creative liberties with was Half-Blood Prince.
Mm.
Well, they took creative liberties with all of them, but there were some big creative liberties with Half-Blood Prince for the worse of the film.
Yeah.
They took out the best scene, added a weird scene. Makes me mad.
Yeah, and you don't know how much time has passed from fucking frame moment to frame. Moment, yeah, it's the
frame
worst.
Frame to frame, yeah. Half-Blood Prince, for me, is the worst Harry Potter movie.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, even Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2 were coherent stories.
Well, they're coherent, and that has the advantage of being split in two parts. And even Order of the Phoenix, which is the longest of them, has some creative ways of telling the story.
Yeah.
And
it gives you montages as time skips, instead of just, now the next scene's happening, it's happening in spring
and it backs stuff up. So one event ends, and as that one ends, the next one starts, rather than cutting the scene, so you don't know how much time passed, and it seems like things just keep happening.
Yeah.
It felt less like dot points, more like a flow chart.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Anyway, tweet us at VideoShotPod. Let us know what you think of Alita Battle Angel. If you saw it, we'll read it out on next week's episode.
Yeah, and we're definitely doing Steven Universe next week.
I think we will. If I don't get through them all this week, we'll do it the following week. But it'll be one of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, cool. So catch up on Steven Universe if you haven't already, or rewatch season 5 and get ready to tweet at us about what you think we should talk about on that.
I think the next main, like, we might do Happy Death Day 2 maybe at some point.
I've heard things, and I really like the first one.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, if there's nothing else out, maybe, but, like,
we should go see it either way.
I think we should. But I just honestly don't know if we'll have much to say.
Yeah, that'll
be too. Especially if it is what the trailer makes it look like it is.
Yeah.
Which is just the same movie again, but with the Asian kid as the main character.
Well, but it's not that, exactly.
Because she's also sort of back in it. Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. It looks almost like it might be parodying itself.
Which could be good.
Which could be good, because Evil Dead was a...
We'll compare it to, like, Gremlins 2.
Yeah, well
or Evil Dead 2.
I was going to say Evil Dead 2, Gremlins 2. There are lots of movies that then just parody themselves in the sequel.
Because it's almost like horror tropes are inherently stupid.
Yeah, like...
and fun to make fun of.
22 Jump Street, even. Like, 21 Jump Street's pretty satirical.
Yeah.
So imagine my shock when the second one was a parody of it. I love those movies.
I'm sure you do. I'm never going to watch them.
You haven't seen them?
No.
They're pretty funny.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum are a good combination, actually.
Yeah.
And Ice Tea? Anyway.
Seat nerds.